There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you once again for tuning into the podcast. This is our Friday edition of the podcast as we close out this week. We are still here staying in South Liberty, and that's in Liberty, Maine, and we're recording here in South Liberty. We thank the Lord for the privilege we've had to be here, for the place to stay. Folks have been so kind to us. We certainly appreciate that. And we've recorded here all week long. We're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do over the weekend. Again, tomorrow night, we have a special meeting, the Second Baptist Church of Palermo, Maine at 6 p.m. And that's right there, right off Route 3 in Palermo. And then we'll be down in Seal Cove, which is the Tremont Baptist Church. That's going to be on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock, and be with the folks there. We certainly look forward to the services. And again, if you would pray for us, we'll be traveling Sunday evening, traveling some on Monday, and just looking to see what the Lord is going to do with us. And let's see what God's going to do as far as the direction for ministry. God's been adding meetings, including even this week. God has added a meeting to us. And as we continue to press on for the glory of God. Thanks for each one of you that have reached out to us. I know many of you have been listening to the services on YouTube this week and had many folks reach out and contact us about the meeting and about the services and how it's been a help. And we thank God for those words of exhortation. It helps us to keep going. And you're doing the will of God. You're preaching the will of God. And yet when folks reach out, especially when spiritual folk reach out, say it's been a help to them, and my friend, it'll just help you go a little bit stronger, a little bit further. So we certainly appreciate each and every one of you. We are in Hebrews chapter 11. It's taken us a long time to get here, and slowly winding down the book of Hebrews. There's three more chapters to go, but Hebrews chapter 11 is that great chapter of faith. And what a tremendous testimony. And what I'm going to do is just draw the things out of here that God has shown me over the years. God has given me over the years concerning faith, concerning this chapter of faith. And I want to deal with a couple of those things today on faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, I remember as a young convert, a man came into the church where I was, and he said, you know, faith is when you turn the light switch on, you believe that, you know, the electric company is going to put electricity to that switch, and you have faith that light is going to come on. Now, I thought, well, that's not faith. That's not biblical faith. I remember even then thinking, that's not Bible faith. Bible faith, listen, the promise is of the Word of God. There's nothing tangible. There's nothing physical. It is the promise of the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I wasn't trying to negate that. I wasn't trying to be cynical, although I've been cynical for a long time. But I hear things like that, and I realize that's not what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There is a substance to faith. That substance is the Word of God. You don't have faith outside of the Word of God. You might have epiphanies. You might have visions. You might have dreams. You might even come in contact with some kind of spiritual being, but it's not a matter of faith. God does not speak to you in the middle of the night, in your room, standing there, holding a torch or holding a lantern. He doesn't appear to you in a crucifix. He doesn't appear to you in a statue. He doesn't appear to you in a movie. He does not appear to you in your own deductive reasoning. He appears to you through communication by the Word of God. That's how God speaks to men. That's how God deals with men. I've heard people surrender to a call outside of the Word of God. I've heard people surrender to salvation outside of the Word of God. Years ago, before I was saved, I got invited to revival service. I watched people flopping on the floor like fish and people praying over them and speaking in tongues. And I watched the minister try to lay hands on me. And I was a little bit bigger and a little bit bolder back then. I just said, get your hands off me. I wouldn't let him touch me because I didn't want him putting his hands on me, talking to all them devil tongues. And therefore, I resisted that. Thank God I was able to resist that. I watched a lot of manifestations that people called God outside of the Word of God. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. Then he said, it's the evidence of things not seen. What is that evidence? The Word of God. We talked about that just recently, how God framed the Word of God. And he tells in verse 2, for it by the elders obtained a good report. What by? By faith. That's how they obtained a good report. They believed God. They believed the Word of God. And in those days, God would minister to them. God would speak to them. God, and he always spoke to them by the word of God. He began with Adam. He spake to Adam, gave him dominion over the animals, put him in that perfect place in the Garden of Eden. And when Adam sinned, the voice of God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. The word of God appeared to Adam. Adam heard the word of God. God spoke to him. And my friend, God then gave them those animal skins to cover their bodies. That blood was shed that they might be covered. And my friend, God began to speak to men through the word of God. And God ministered to men through the word of God. And then, of course, the fundamentalist says in the days of Seth, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. That's when men began to get saved. No, men believed the word of God. They called upon the name of the Lord in the days of Seth because they believed the word of God. In Noah's days, Noah called upon the name of the Lord because he believed in the word of God. Abraham called upon the name of the Lord because he believed the word of God. We preached the other night here at the church, and we preached on that calling when Jesus Christ called upon the name of the Lord. Why did he call upon his name? Because he was in distress, but it's because he believed God. He had faith, therefore he could call. And my friend, anytime somebody calls that has faith, God will answer, God will hear. If you call without faith, there's no response. And my friend, that's where a lot of folks get it backwards. They say, well, I did the calling. God has to respond to me. But the reality is when you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, he said, thou shalt be saved. And then he said, for whoso shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? They get the cart before the horse. You got to believe to call upon him. You got to have faith to call upon him. You have to believe the word of God before you can call upon him. You have to know who he is, because otherwise you're calling on someone you don't know. There's a lot of folks been convinced to repeat a prayer. They don't know who they're calling upon. They don't know who they're praying to. They don't know who they've been told to pray to. They just know they were told to do this, and they went through the motions, and they went through the articles that were required of them without faith. And my friend, faith has a substance to it. Faith has an evidence of it. And the elders retained a good report by it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, why does it say through faith? And I'm going to talk about that just a little bit here on the podcast today. I believe every young convert, every seasoned convert who's never done it, every aged person, every young person at some point in their Christian life, now would be a good time. They need to look up those little statements in the word of God by faith and through faith. If you need a good place to go, King James Bible Online. If you need a good app to look at, King James Bible Online. And you can use Sword Searcher, whatever you want to use. If you want to tediously go through James Strong's Concordance and look up that word faith to find out where it says by faith and through faith and highlighting your concordance, whatever it takes, but look up the difference between through faith and by faith. We see a lot of folks moved by faith. Why? They believed God. They just believed God for what he told them. But then we see other things had to take place through faith. By grace are ye saved through faith. Why? And not of yourselves. It's not your faith, it's his faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith of Christ. Why? Because it's through him. It is in his name. It's his righteousness. It's the cleanness of his hands. It's not works of righteousness which we have done, but it's of his mercies and that God has saved us. And so he tells us we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. How? Through faith. Why? Because God spake, the word of God spake, and the words, the word of God tells us this, the worlds were framed by the word of God. That's through faith. Because God believed. Now listen, I had a man ask me last year, great question. Thank God for it. It made me study, made me think. He said, how does Jesus Christ have faith in himself when he's God? And God gave me some thoughts about that. God gave me a message about that. How does Jesus Christ believe in himself? By the word of God. He believes God. That's why we see the faith of Jesus Christ. We see that through faith in Ephesians 2 and 8. It's through faith. Why? Because it was his faith. It wasn't us. We're saved not because we want to be saved. We're saved because he wants us to be saved. And a lot of folks, again, they get that cart before the horse. And they say, well, you're just mincing words. You're just grasping at straws. Had he never taken an interest in us, we would never have any clue who Jesus Christ was. But because he first loved us, and he gave himself for us, and he died for us, and then he gave us the word of God that faith might come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, because he first had an interest in us, long before we ever had an interest in him, he said, through faith. He said, we're saved through faith. Why? Because he had an interest in me. He had an interest in you. He tasted death for every man. He died for the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but also for the sins. And that's what the word of God tells us, of the whole world. Thank God for that. It says, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He is that potentate. He is that one that comes between. We're saved through faith. Now, talk about by faith. Why is it by faith? Because they believe the word of God. The other vehicle by which they came was through faith. The worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so again, that's through faith. God did that. That was a work of God. No man could explain that away except for God. Now, they've tried now for thousands of years. They've tried to explain away the world, tried to explain away creation. But the reality is, it was only because of the word of God. And because God spake, that was his faith. He had faith in himself. He believed the word of God, and he spake those worlds into existence so that you and I couldn't say, oh, well, we don't know for sure that God did that. And that's where the atheist today and the agnostic today, and of course the anti-creationist today, you can fill in the blank with evolutionist or space science or whatever you want. They all deny the very existence of God, and they have to come up with theories to deny the existence of God, try to make us look like fools that are saved by the good grace of God. And yet they are the fools that said in their heart, there is no God, because they do not believe the word of God. It goes on in verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So we'll just speak briefly of Abel, if we can, in the word of God. And the word does say a fair amount about Abel, but the Bible said that, of course, Adam knew his wife, had Cain, then he had Abel. And the word of God tells us, Abel, in verse 4 of Genesis 4, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel, and unto his offering. And when it came to Cain, to his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, why is it that God was not pleased with Cain's offering? It was the fruit of his hands. It was what he had done. Can I say it on this wise? It was his righteousness. Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice. He brought a better sacrifice, if you will. But that more excellent sacrifice he brought was by the blood. God required the blood. He didn't require the blood of a turnip. He required the blood of a lamb. And God preached that to Adam and Eve in the garden. That's why he clothed them in animal skins. They knew the blood was required. And so he believed the word of God. And because he believed the word of God, he offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. How did he obtain witness? Because God was pleased with his sacrifice. God received his sacrifice. God accepted his sacrifice. You know what preaching will do? Preaching will reveal whether or not God has been pleased with your sacrifice. And by the way, the only sacrifice he's pleased with today is his dear son. And if you've come through faith, you've come through the veil, that is to say, his body. You've come through the blood of that most excellent offering, the person of Jesus Christ. And you've come by the mercy seat, through the blood, through the veil. And you've come by faith. You've believed the word of God, but you believed the word of God when it pointed to Jesus Christ. And it was through him that you came by faith. You know what the word of God tells you? You can have this confidence to know that you've been saved, that you might know that you have eternal life. What preaching does, preaching unravels those little professions. Preaching unravels those little things which we have done. Our righteousness, our vegetable offering, our fruit offering, the labor of our hands. And we come and we bring them to God without that blood sacrifice of his son. And we come and we offer us, Lord, look what I have done. You know I'm a good person. You know I've done well. You know I've helped people. You know I've helped people with their character and with their flaws. And I've tried to make them a better person. All of that in self-righteousness. And God is not pleased, but yet he was pleased with the more excellent sacrifice. So God testifying of his gifts. Hallelujah. And then the word of God has a colon there and says, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And so Abel yet speaketh on these things. Though he's dead, it was his faith that God revealed. And again, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about Abel, but what it does say, it says much about him. He pleased God with his offering. He pleased God by bringing a lamb of the flock and offering that lamb as an offering to God and sacrificing that lamb. The blood had to come out, and he offers that blood to God, and God is well pleased, and therefore the testimony of Abel is by that blood. And thank God, God testifies it was by faith because he believed it. What is Cain's damnation? Cain did not believe God. He thought he could do it on his own. He thought he could do it without blood. He thought he could do it without that sacrifice. He thought he could do it the labor of his hands, the work of his hands. So many religious people, so many religious zealots, what they have done, what I have done, what I can do. You realize you can help people with their character. You can help people with their social graces. You can help people with all of these things in their affairs of their life, and it's not going to help them one bit spiritually. They'll die and go to hell, walking right, eating right, knowing which fork to use, knowing they have clean fingernails, knowing not to pick their nose at the table, not to stick their tongue out, not to lick their hands, not to lick their plate. They'll do all of those things and die and go to hell having social graces, and has nothing to do with faith. And there's a lot of folks trying to teach people the matters of this life, the affairs of this life. They're disgusted by their actions, disgusted by their lifestyle, disgusted by how they live. But they have no concern over their soul. They have no concern. What they need is the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't need self-righteousness. They don't need an offering made by man. They need the blood of Christ, and they need the forgiveness of sins, the full pardon of sin through the person of Jesus Christ. That's what's going to make the difference. That's why Abel pleased God. That's why God gave a testimony. That's why he's a witness to us this day that he pleased God with that sacrifice. Thank God for the life of Abel. Lord willing, Monday we're going to continue in by faith, through faith, Hebrews chapter 11.
There's a lost soul who started off his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord as he cries for forgiveness and mercy. God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelist.com. And use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed.